Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dane Brugler does a great job covering the NFL draft, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Hey, Dane, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Dane, everybody seems pretty pumped about what the Browns have done. Overall, what's your overall assessment on how the Browns handled the 2021 NFL draft?
Well, you know, I don't do draft grades, but what I do is I power rank my favorite classes, which, you know, obviously subjective, but, you know, it's something that when you look at the Browns and what they did, I was kind of curious where they're going to end up. And for me, they finished number two. So obviously very high on what they were able to do. Leading up to the draft, I kept talking about Greg Newsome as being maybe that Jedrick Wills for this team. And what I mean by that is could be that stabilizing force, the guy that could step in as a rookie and help stabilize a unit on the roster. Like Jedrick Wills did last year, left tackle for the offensive line. I think Greg Newsome can have that type of impact at corner for that secondary. And the only question was, okay, would he make it to 26? And he did. And I think it's easy to tell why the Browns liked them, you know, with what the front office looks for, what the coaching staff looks for. They want young players. Okay, check that box, 20 years old. Athletic players, I mean, looking at his pro day information, check that box. And then, production and tape, it's both there. And he's a guy that's very well versed in zone, which we know this defensive coordinator and this team, we're going to run a lot of zone. So it was just a perfect fit. When you look at what this team values and the need on the roster and what the type of impact he could make as a rookie. And then, you know, that's just the start of it, getting Owusu-Koramoah in the second. Obviously, there are some medical concerns there. But then Anthony Schwartz in the third and then what they did on day three. I really loved what the value and the talent the Browns were able to get at that point in draft.
You skipped over Anthony Schwartz a little bit there. You mentioned him, but I know a lot of different sites did not have him at a third-round pick. I don't know what you had him at, Dane, but I love the speed. I love the versatility. Like, that seems like an Andrew Berry guy to me.
Yeah, and look, he's a guy that I had a fourth-round grade on him, but I understand why, you know, in the late part of the third round, you're drafting a guy like that. He's already one of the fastest players in the NFL, and plain and simple. That's not hyperbolic to say that. I mean, he has world-class speed. Now, is he a well-rounded receiver? No, not yet. But I think this is really a pick for 2022. We don't know what that wide receiver depth chart is going to look like a year from now. You know, will Jarvis Landry be there? Will Odell Beckham be on there? You know, who knows? This is a pick for the future who I think he'll get on the field this year. I mean, we'll see him. They'll manufacture some touches for him. He can play some special teams. But he does need some development time. And, you know, you're talking about a guy who had more rushing touchdowns than receiving touchdowns. Not really ideal for a wide receiver. You know, for a guy with his type of speed, you want more big plays. 117 catches at Auburn, but only 11 of those plays went over 25 yards. So there's a lot to like about what he offers, but he's still young, still growing, had more drops than you want to see on the 2020 film. So really, I think this is a developmental player with 6 foot with 4.2 speed, legit 4.2 speed, has a chance to really develop into something. But early on, definitely going to have to manufacture some touches for him. And look, all you need is that 1-9 route where he takes the top off a defense, scores a touchdown. All of a sudden, when he's out on the field, defenses are going to play you differently. So I think that element of speed is certainly a strong selling point when you go after a guy like this.
We're talking with Dane Brugler. Dane, you mentioned Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and you know part of the reason he dropped, obviously, was because of the medical concerns that the Browns said they have no concerns. Mm-hmm. But also there was some thought of, like, what position exactly he's going to play? How do you use him? When you look at him, what do you think the Browns will do with him?
Yeah, and with the medical concerns, what I was told was it's not necessarily a concern about something happening. It's more of a concern of because the lack of information. That was the main reason why he fell, and some teams just did not feel comfortable with it. But yeah, the fit concerns. We talk about gadget players on offense. He's a little bit of a gadget player on defense because of, you know, his strength as a player. He's one of the most explosive players in this draft. It's just where do you deploy him on the field? Is he going to be a guy that, you know, you play as a blitzer? Is he going to be a guy that's over the slot receiver? The answer is all the above, because he can do that. You can keep him on the field in different situations, mix and match your personnel. And, you know, he's not your traditional stack linebacker who, you know, is going to work off blocks and make plays in the middle of the field. That's not really his strength. But use him in this is where it's going to be on the defensive coordinator to make sure that they use him in the right way. You know, whether that's, having him blitz off the edge, because that's where he can make a lot of plays. 24 and a half tackles for loss in his career. But then on the next play, line him up over the slot receiver and let him cover deep. Be creative with him, but also understanding how to get your best players on the field. Now, I feel like the pressure has kind of shifted. And this is what happens when you have, when you really have a chance to develop your roster. Instead of the pressure being on the players, I feel like more of the pressure is on the coaches and the defensive coordinator, because the talent is there. The number of players and the personnel groupings, it's all there. Now it's on the coaches to make it all work and get your best players on the field to make plays.
Yeah, you're right. Joe Woods is going to feel a lot of heat this season, especially after last year where we didn't know whether or not he'd be back this upcoming year. You said you loved the third day. What was your favorite pick out of the third day?
Well, you know, we know they needed to get better on the interior of the defensive line, and they did that with Tommy Togiai. And he's a very unique player because, you know, he's a run stuffer first and foremost, but he's under 300 pounds. His 40-yard dash was under 5 seconds. But he's so uniquely powerful. He's so good at stacking blocks, shedding, making plays in the hole. He needs to get better as a pass rusher. There's no question. But anybody that watched Ohio State last year knows he was the MVP down the stretch going into the Big Ten championship game. Then what he did against Clemson. And then, you know, how much his absence was felt in the national title game against Alabama. So Tommy Togiai is going to give you that immediate depth you need on the interior of the defensive line. James Hudson on the offensive line, he's got starter potential. Probably keep him at tackle, but something he can play guard. So I think he's a guy that you can develop. And then the defensive players they added in the fifth round, Tony Fields and Richard LeCount. Fields is one of the more instinctive linebackers in this draft. Now, he's undersized. There's no way around that part of it. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be easily get off blocks and make plays, but he's so instinctive. He made plays at Arizona, then he transfers to West Virginia for his final year. And the coaches there say that, you know, he quickly became a team leader. He led the team in tackles. I mean, he was the alpha of that defense, and he did it in a new conference with new coaches, new teammates, new scheme, did it pretty quickly. So an impressive player. And then Richard LeCount, another guy, high football character, and he had an all-time poor pro day. But, talking to people around the league, there were some quiet fist bumps because, they thought, okay, maybe instead of having to get this guy in the third round or fourth round, get him in the fifth round, sixth round, because the guy's a baller. He makes a lot of plays. You see the athleticism. He's got an offensive background. You see that with the way he attacks the ball. He got injured this past year because of an off-field type of deal with a dirt bike. But he was able to get on the field for the final play of the Sugar Bowl against Cincinnati just because that's how much it meant to him. And that's how much the coaches knew that it meant to him just to get on the field. So, he's a big-time player who, fell because of a bad pro day. But when he's healthy and on the field, he would have gone probably in the third, at the latest, the fourth round. So the Browns got a little bit of a discount there. And then Demetri Felton out of UCLA, we'll see what he does in terms of how they use him. There's some Nyheim Hines there. as a guy that can play running back and be receiver. Nobody could cover him at the Senior Bowl practices. So that's a downfield threat. Wide receiver, running back, however you use him, he led the Pac-12 in all-purpose yards last year. So it can help you out as a return man. Another guy with a pro day just kind of plummeted his stock because he just did not work out well. But you watch the tape and you see an athletic playmaker. So that's what the Browns are trusting.
First guy you mentioned there, Tommy Togiai, will be on our show tomorrow. We'll look forward to that. And speaking of defensive linemen, Dane, and guys whose stock dropped, we were reading about one of the premier undrafted free agents that the Browns signed, Marvin Wilson. I was reading that this guy was like might have been a first or second round pick a year ago because he was good in 18 or 19, mm-hmm. and that his play just cratered in 20. What happened there? I mean, was this guy, if a year ago, would he have been a much higher pick? And what can he provide the Browns?
Yeah, he was graded as a potential second or third round pick. That's how scouts kind of viewed him. And a former five-star guy, I mean, talent's never really been the question with him. I think it's been more about, okay, playing a little heavier than he should. The effort has been a little bit up and down. And I think, we need to pay attention to just the state of that program at Florida State. I mean, he had to go through three different coaching staffs the last 4 years, and I think that really stunted his development, that turmoil in the program. And that's something that I think has contributed to his trajectory kind of going the wrong way throughout his career in Tallahassee. But again, talent has never been the question with this guy. 6'4", 300 pounds. He moves well. He's a little tight in his movements, but he's a guy that will make plays. And so I think the NFL tools are there, and it's no coincidence here. They gave him a lot of money as an undrafted free agent for a reason. I think he was definitely should have been a draft pick, at least, someone in the late rounds. Take a chance on this guy because the talent is there. And now, it's hopefully the Browns be able to develop him in camp.
Got to ask you about someone else the Browns picked up, Malik McDowell. I know we're going back a couple years because he's had some issues and he's had some off-field issues. But when he was coming out of school, what did you think about Malik McDowell? Was he all everything like everyone tells me?
Oh, yeah, talk about another guy who, talent was never the issue. That was definitely Malik McDowell. And he went in the second round in that draft, 2017. And the only reason he went in the second round is because of some of the questions. But if there were no questions, no red flags off the field, and it was just based on talent, he would have been a top 10 pick. I remember talking with a scout that fall because he told me that the three best players in the nation, in the country, three best prospects were all defensive linemen: Miles Garrett, and McDowell, and I think the third one was Derek Barnett. But I mean, he just was raving about these defensive linemen, how that was going to be the talk of the NFL draft process. And obviously Miles still went one, but a guy like McDowell fell a little bit because of some of the question marks, and that ended up kind of being his downfall in the early part of his career. Hopefully, he's able to stay focused on football and untap some of that talent, because the ability is there. Now it's just up to the coaches and up to Malik to stay focused and put together some consistent football.
Dane, last thing, you said that you had the Browns ranked as a second in mm-hmm. when you ranked all the teams in their draft class. Where did you have the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals?
The Steelers I had pretty low. I'm confused with, I feel like their draft is very short-sighted. It felt like they drafted for this year, for this small window that right. they have with Ben. Najee Harris, and the run game was historically bad last year. Najee Harris will help that, but the problems go beyond just who's at running back. And so I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Pat Freiermuth is solid, but I don't know that he's necessarily going to move the needle for that offense. But he's going to help Ben he's going to help in the short game, and that's where we know Ben likes to thrive. I liked what they did. Some of the later picks like Quincy Roche and those guys. The Ravens always do well for themselves. I mean, getting a guy like Owe in the first round, he's in the freakiest of the freaks. If they're able to develop him, he's going to be a guy that the rest of the AFC North has to worry about. Rashad Bateman's ready to step in from day one and be a contributor. I think they're missing that style of receiver and that offense. So they're really hoping Bateman can expand Lamar Jackson's his ability to pass the ball, especially outside the numbers. And they did really well for themselves on day three with a guy like Sean Wade in the fifth round. I mean, that's when you take a chance on a guy like that. Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State, Ben Mason. And then, you know, with the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, they were middle of the road. I think, you know, you can understand why they went Jamar Chase at five overall instead of Sewell. Jamar Chase is going to give them a downfield passing game that they really didn't have last year. One of the best athletes in this class. And I thought, you know, the defensive players they added in the third and fourth rounds with Joseph Osai and Cam Sample and Tyler Shelvin, they got better on the defensive line. So I think the Bengals helped themselves as well.
Dane, great stuff as always, man. Should be a nice break time for you now. Take care. We appreciate the time.
All right, anytime. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.